Another alleged massacre in Syria. More video showing horribly brutalized bodies. In the latest allegation, men were taken from a work bus and killed, if the video is authentic, execution style. The latest allegation suggests the same pattern as the killings in Hula last week. Actions taken by pro-government militia known as the Shabiha. The United Nations Human Rights Commission is meeting an emergency session to talk about the bloody events in Hula and now this latest atrocity. Joining us, Fawaz Jirjaz is a director of the Middle East Center at the London School of Economics, author of Obama and the Middle East, The End of America's Moment. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
This continuing video, this level of carnage, and the role of the Shabiha, does this suggest that the government is exerting control over opposition by using the Shabiha, or has lost control of these, as the opposition calls them, pro-government thugs?
Well, I think you're raising a very, very big question, because if you really read closely the meanings of the events, the massacres in Hula and today, today's massacre, it tells me the massacres, in fact, they're very counterproductive, the very strategy of the Assad regime itself. And what this tells me is that probably the Shabiha, the army of the semi-official enforcers of the Assad regime, they have been mobilized and armed by the Syrian authorities. They really are not under a centralized command by the Assad regime itself. We should not be surprised by that. I would argue the Syrian authorities are losing control on the monopoly of the use of force. Yes, they have unleashed a nightmare that might haunt not only poor Syrian civilians, but also the Assad regime itself.
And, you know, what should we say about the territorial issue here? Where did these latest killings take place? Do you know? And I suspect that it's villages near Homs. Can we say anything about that sort of nexus of Hama and Homs, that part of the country?
Yes, I think we can, because what we need to understand about the Shabiha in Arabic they're called other thugs or ghosts. Their very name speak volumes about who they are. We have very little information about this particular militia. The reality is most of them come from poor villages, basically Alawite villagers. The Assad regime is an Alawite-based regime. Many people don't realize that many members of the Alawite community are very poor. They have migrated in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s to urban areas, in particular to Homs and Damascus. And they're partly criminal, partly militias. They came into the scene in the 1970s. Most of the massacres, basically, that allegedly carried out by the Shabiha are around this area. In Homs, in Hula, and the Hama area. And this is really the reason why your question is so important, because they are sowing the seeds of sectarian tensions in Syria, because they are seen as enforcers of the Assad regime. They come from Alawite areas. Most of the victims are, well, the overwhelming number of victims are Sunnis in Homs and Hama and other areas. And that's why their very presence, in fact, expedite the plunging Syria into all-out sectarian strife.
Fawaz Jirjaz, respond to this comment from UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who spoke in Istanbul, Turkey, yesterday.
The massacre of civilians of the sort seen last weekend could plunge Syria into a catastrophic civil war, a civil war from which the country would never recover.
A civil war from which the country could never recover. I'm possibly talking to the perfect person to ask this question. You went through a civil war in Lebanon. Lebanon has recovered. What is Ban Ki-moon talking about there?
Well, I don't think Lebanon has recovered at all, John. Yes, I have. I was a teen when the civil war in Lebanon began in 1975. When bridges of trust break down, when huge quantities of blood basically are spilled, communities turn against one another overnight. And in fact, I fear that Syria resembles Lebanon in 1975, in the sense that even though the uprising in Syria is essentially political, so much blood has been spilled, and the conflict in Syria, the crisis in Syria, has becoming more and more sectarian driven. The significance of the massacres that have taken place in Syria, in particular the Hula massacre, in which more than one Syrian civilians were killed, basically it represents a significant escalation of sectarian tensions between the Sunni dominated majority in Syria, most of Syrians, almost 65% of the Syrian population are Sunnis, and the tiny minority, the Alawites. And now you have many voices on the Sunni side who are calling for vengeance. Even though the opposition is not sectarian driven, even though the opposition has gone out of its way to say this is a political struggle against the Assad regime, massacres like Hula basically pour gasoline on the raging fire and basically really sow the seeds of a sectarian strife. Because in Lebanon, that's how it all started in 1975, and that's why I believe that the writing is on the wall in Syria. The rot has set in, and unless a solution is found to the Syrian crisis, I fear Syria seems to be heading the Lebanon way in the 1970s.
The United Nations was powerless to prevent the events from unfolding when you were a teenager in Lebanon. The Shabiha don't listen to the Assad regime anymore inside Syria. The Assad regime isn't listening to the United Nations. It listens to Russia, if anyone at all. Who is the United Nations speaking to about Syria at this point, if no one in Syria is listening?
Well, I mean, I think the United Nations is an extension of the international community, of the world community. And the reality is, unfortunately, John, as you know, the international community is deeply divided along the U.S.-Russian lines. In fact, the Russian vetoes have neutralized the United Nations and the Security Council. I mean, the United Nations is really the moral voice of the international community that does not exist in terms of unity on Syria. But the warnings are critical. They're very critical for the Syrian people. We want the Syrian people to realize that we hear their voices, their agony, and also the Syria's neighbors. And at the end of the day, I think what the United Nations is saying that it is Syria might be reaching a tipping point of which there is no return.
Well, let's explore that, because we talked a lot about tipping points for international intervention, and we really couldn't come up with any. And that, you know, these kinds of violent videos and pictures, you know, we can see in the past historically where they've been important. But it's hard to know where that fits here. But you're talking about a tipping point that creates civil war. What's that going to look like?
Horrible. It's going to look like Lebanon in the 19...
But what's the tipping point going to look like? I mean, what are we going to see? Are we going to see people in the streets with weapons who are not uniformed, who are not military, who are not opposition, wholesale civilians being rounded up?
Absolutely. In fact, Hula might come to represent Syria in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Fawaz Jirjaz, director of the Middle East Center at the London School of Economics, author of Obama and the Middle East. Thanks so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.